Morning.
Morning.
Happy New Year. Some of you might know Jimmy Carter, who usually sits in the back row there. He has finally flown the coop.
Oh, good.
He has been working and straining and messing around for at least a couple of years, probably, right? Wanting to go to live with his son and grandson in Seattle. And so he has taken off to do that, so we give him our love and our blessings.
Did you get the address?
No, I didn't yet. I just got an email from him the other day. So
if we do, I might get a card.
Okay, I will, if you remind me of that, I will email him and see if we can get his address and we can send him a...
I know Keith will have it.
Oh, he probably will, you're right. We'll send them a love note. Okay, that would be very nice. Thank you for thinking of that. He's been a faithful member of this class, and I know for a pretty long time on another class on Tuesday evening, or actually it was on Thursday at that time. He was a very faithful member of that until we kind of moved out of town for a while. I was opening myself to getting an idea of how to pull most of the information in this chapter together, because we're on about the last three or four pages or so. And the thought that was given to me was, this is all about expanding our awareness of who we are. You know, when we're talking about picking up vibes from other people, when we're talking about actually visiting another person on a spiritual plane, and all of the things that are part and picking up on the vibrations there as well, and actually sending vibrations if we choose to do that. Okay, it's more than just a word of I sending you joy, all right? See, what happens is I have to open myself up to my joy before I can send it to you. There's a whole lot of variations to the same theme, right? But I know we've started out meditations a number of times in this class, and we'll probably end with one this morning, of reminding ourselves that you have a body, but you are not your body. You have a mind, but you are not your mind. You have feelings, but you're not your feelings. You're more than that. And when we do that, what we are doing at a point like that is we are doing that actually consciously. Right? And for those few moments when we are absorbed in looking at ourselves and other people as being beings of light or whatever imagery might come to you, we really are in that place of unity and oneness, where we are not constrained by an idea or a thought that this is who I am, or this is what I am, here, right here, in this physical body, and that's it, and that's my limitation, okay, and I can't go any further than that. Now, the thing about it is that I found for myself, and you've probably found for yourself too, is that that's a great thought to begin the day with. But then as I go along, you know, I don't know about you, but I forget. You know, my favorite kind of Ram Dass example of that is I become someone standing in line. Okay? Now, I don't say to myself, well, I'm somebody standing in line, but that's what I've identified with at that particular moment, or I'm somebody waiting for the light to change. Or I'm somebody cooking dinner. Now, all of the actions are fine, but what would it be like to imagine myself as a divine being who is experiencing these things at this moment? And what a difference that would make in my relationship to you, in my relationship to the people around me. I know who you are, I know what you are, I know how you serve. Rather than get out of my way. What are you doing? Don't they know who's driving behind them? How come that? I remember when I told Margot that the first time. She looked at me like I was nuts. I said, well, that's how I think a lot of times. She's not here, by the way. She's not really quite under the weather, but not quite. We spent a week up in Chicago taking care of our grandkids, and we are both kind of exhausted, so she needed to get a little bit of extra rest. So I'm subbing for her today. I brought in the goodies in there, she's fine, though. And she offers her best. So all of the different aspects or all of the different roles in our lives that we identify with, we are being asked not to throw them away necessarily, but realize they are only limitations of the mind. It's kind of interesting. My two youngest grandkids have started calling me Jerry instead of Grandpa Jerry. Okay. And if it was another generation, I would have looked at that as been horrible disrespect, okay? But I found that I really didn't care. But I also found that it sort of changed my relationship with them a little bit. And it wasn't, obviously, it wasn't equal footing, but there was a little bit more familiarity with that. In fact, it was kind of funny when I thought about it. And here's a 7-year-old say, hey, Jerry, would you do this with, would you play Xbox with me, okay? And so what happened was, well, at least partially what happened was that role of grandpa got a little bit dissolved there just by calling me a different name, okay? The whole scene changed a little bit. And that was kind of a neat awareness. I went, oh, that's interesting. And so what we are working up towards, and maybe you've grasped this already, I haven't yet, I have a little bit, but that we are all basically energy. And we are energy that is expressing itself through form. This is part of our job on planet Earth. All right. Now, I have chosen to express myself, and you have chosen to express yourself through the form of this physical body. That's one way we've expressed ourselves. It's not the only way, obviously. But now we can get caught up in the idea that that's the only way I can express myself. But that's not true. Because we do this all, when I pray for you, I'm not expressing myself as a body. I'm expressing myself as a divine being coming in contact with your divine being. In a way, waking my divine being up to help wake your divine being up. And in fact, we do this more often than we think. We kind of astral travel when we daydream. You might have done this already since you've been here. Right? Jerry starts talking and droning on, and your mind goes over here someplace, okay? And you go, well, that's interesting. Oh, I better get back here. Right? Well, where were you? Where were you? We could say, well, I was sitting in the chair. Yeah, but your body was sitting in the chair, but where were you? And I go, oh. I was building castles someplace. Or I was creating an illness someplace. Or I was worried about this. Or I was creating something someplace else. And see, again, that's another thing that is part of all of this. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, we are always creating. We are always taking energy and putting it into form. Now, sometimes or many times that will happen by attrition or, what was the word you used a while ago, Dixie? What the Course in Miracles says, we are creating either, there's a word I'm hunting for and I can't remember what it is. It's when we're doing it unconsciously.
Well, we create by default.
By default, yeah, that's what I was looking for, thank you. Or we're either creating by default or creating consciously. And so we're doing that in the physical world as well as in the immaterial world as well. We are, it isn't just matter that becomes form. Okay. We can create feelings that have energy. We can create anger. We can create fear. We can create separateness. We can create love. We can create joy. We can create a sense of oneness. So we are entitled. You can create illusion as long as you want to, although most of the time when we create illusion, we don't call it illusion. See, we have to be kind of above the fray to be able to see it as illusion. If you're lost in it, you don't think it's an illusion, it's real. We can do that in a lot of different ways. So what we're asking ourselves to do right now is to raise our level of consciousness and our awareness, to be aware that we are more than our body, more than our mind, more than our emotions, and that at any moment in time that we are creating, and to stop every once in a while and ask ourselves, what are we creating? And know that when we are creating, we are affecting every living thing. We are correcting, we are influencing every other energy field in this world. You can't not do that. So how do I choose to be effective? How do I choose what I am creating? How do I choose what I'm... Well, I've got to be aware of that first. Again, it's one of the reasons why I love unity. I love coming in here in the morning. I love doing whatever we do on Sunday. I love doing what I do on Sunday upstairs, right? Because I know that that is always a conscious act of creation. And I am so consciously involved in the process. Here's another paradox. I'm so consciously involved in the process, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just there. Joseph Campbell was once asked, he kept telling Bill Moyers about following your bliss. And I think Moyers finally got fed up with him and he said, what are you talking about? What do you mean when you follow your bliss? And he said, when you follow your bliss, time disappears. You are not thinking about following your bliss, you are in it. So whenever you are involved in an activity, whether it is in the external world or the internal world, where you are not thinking about being involved in that activity, you are just so involved with it, you are one with it, you grok it, if I can use that word. Do you remember that from Stranger in a Strange Land? Okay, you grok it, you are a part of it, it is a part of you. You are in the act, you are in the creative act of loving or of being joyful or of being with your grandson or whatever it happens to be. And you're not thinking about, well, I'm in the creative act being with my grandson, right? You are just in it, whatever it is. And so if you're eating a donut, eat the damn donut. Don't think about, well, this has too many calories. But I really enjoy it. But I really shouldn't enjoy it. So I think I'll eat it, but not enjoy it. Isn't that great? So we've got all the bad that went with it, but none of the good, okay? What are we doing to ourselves? But we are creating that as that's a creative act. It's not a very positive one, but it's a creative. And so that's why we are encouraged to live in the now moment. When you are in the now, you're not saying, well, I'm in the now moment right now. You're not really, okay? You're thinking about being in the now moment, but you're not. When you are in the now, you're not thinking about being in the now, you are just being. You might be being a grandfather, you might be being a parent, you might be being a stamp collector, you might be something, whatever role that is, but you are so involved with that, there is no thought that's involved, you are just there. And then later on you go, wow, it's far out. I was really there. Are you here? Now, when you are doing this work, always, 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 I'm on page 236 if you have a book. If you don't worry about it. Everybody, by the way, is always invited, whether you have a book or not, whether you care about the book or not. Now, when you are doing this work, always, 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 we require you to work with a protection of some sort. And it's only because you are going off into uncharted territory, and you might as well have the sense that you are protected on your journey. It's basic common sense at this level of training to be clear that when you go to a friend's house, you have remembered to put your clothes on. It's not a lot different from that. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is. That's not out of fear. That's out of awareness. I came across another prayer years ago that I shared with Margo. I know she really likes it. See if I can remember it. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall go from me. Nothing but good shall come to me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. That was an old metaphysics teacher I had years ago when I didn't know about metaphysics. I'll send you that in the email if I remember, okay? Very simple, but again, it's not something done out of fear. It's something done as a reminder of what is already true. Aren't you already filled with light? Aren't you already surrounded with light? Aren't you already connected to the pure white light of Christ? Is that any different from what was happening a moment ago before I said those words? Of course it wasn't, right? But it's, I don't know about you, but it's certainly nice to be reminded. And when I am reminded, then I can respond consciously to the people, places, and things around me. Because when I realize, let's say that I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ, that so is everybody else. So is Hillary Clinton, so is Donald Trump, right? So is everybody else I might think of or I might think not very well of. And so when it comes down to it, when I recognize the truth, there's another thing this chapter and this whole book is about. When I recognize the truth in me, I can't but help to recognize the truth in you. There's only one way that that works. If you put anybody in the dark, you can't stand in the light. That's just the way it works. Now we will tell you this, what you are doing when you are hearing, that's internally hearing, let's say tuning into somebody else, and again, that's not a violation of privacy, you're not, you know, reading their mind, you're tuning into their energy field, because they're sharing that anyway, whether they're conscious of it or not, they can't help not share it. Well, I don't think I'm going to share my energy today. Well, tough, right? It's like walking outside and saying, I don't think I'm going to let the sun shine on me today. It's too bad. It's going to anyway. What you are doing when you are hearing is you are picking up frequency. And that frequency then is being translated into language for you by your own system. Now that's astounding. That's a miracle in itself. Your own system is translating that frequency of energy into language for you to understand on a different level, beyond the intuition. In a way, as you begin to open at this level, you will find that what you can do will surprise you because it is the benefit of a refined energy system. The work of the last book and the work of this book has been to work with you to refine your frequency, to become aware of your own acceptance of your own frequency as a divine being. And the benefits of knowing this are as follows. You can begin to experience yourself operating in different dimensions of reality. The exercises that we have given you today have been about your operating in other realities. Now always understand this. You are not going elsewhere. These other dimensions coexist with yours, the one you are experiencing right now. So right now, most of us are in a three-dimensional reality, living in a body, listening to some things. But we're also in contact with our spiritual nature in some ways, taking in information that the mind does not completely grasp or understand, and we are open to that, and we are open and willing to do that. We don't have to understand it. I don't know what that thought or that idea or that energy is going to do to me or for me, but I'm willing to let it in anyway. And then when you daydream, you're operating, you're exploring different dimensions. You are beyond both time and space, which are two other dimensions. Time and space don't have any reality when you're daydreaming, or they don't have any hindrances connected with them, okay? You can daydream and relive the past, either literally or relive it differently. Here's a good daydream. What would have happened if I had done it this way? Okay? Don't tell me you've never done that. We're transcending the dimension of time. When we are thinking about someone we love or someone we care about, picking up on their vibration or praying for them or praying with them, right? We are transcending space. We are no longer just occupying this physical space, we are occupying another one. That other one always existed. So again, this is not trying to be far out. It's not trying to, you know, run out and buy a crystal ball tomorrow or start reading tarot cards, okay? It's not about that at all. It's just about realizing, wait a minute. You know, I've limited myself most of my life to being this being who is either walking around or sitting in this chair here. And that my consciousness is telling me right now that I am much more than that. And because I am much more than that, so are you. And as I can begin to perceive myself in a different way, I can begin to perceive you in a different way. Came across a wonderful quote, if I can remember it correctly. When we change the way we see things, the things we see change. Can you get that? When we change the way we see things, let's just say people. When we change the way we see people, the people we see change. It can't not happen. Now, you could say, well, you know, I want to see them as the devil. I want to see them with horns and a tail. Okay? You can do that if you want to. All right? But they're always going to have a choice of whether to buy into that positive or negative energy, right? And you can't really change them for very long. That energy just doesn't last very long. The good energy, the open door energy, the energy of oneness, the energy of unity, the energy of consciousness, the energy of awareness, that's really the energy of transformation and change. When I change the way I see things, the things I see change. You've probably noticed that happen. My favorite example, when you're doing the dishes, imagine that each dish is a little baby Buddha. Can you imagine how dishwashing is going to change? can't do that. It's a baby Buddha. I gotta be real gentle. Can I get that spot off, but I gotta be real gentle. I'm not gonna just throw it in the rack. Put it gently down. I'm gonna be mindful of what I am doing. Suppose you imagine everybody I'm with today is going to be a little baby Buddha. How am I gonna treat him? The guy in front of me is going too slow as a little baby Buddha. I'm gonna beat my horn, give him the finger. If you can imagine that there is a book and you are looking at a page and you are reading that page, this is just a beautiful, beautiful example. But you do not realize that if you turn the page beyond it is another page with new information. Perhaps even talking about the same things from a different perspective. And then you turn the next page and more is revealed. That is how these dimensions operate. So you can say, well, it's like Margot, the way Margot reads a book is she reads the introduction and she reads the last chapter. She decides whether or not it's worth reading. I don't necessarily agree with that, but it gave me a totally different point of view. Right? So did you read the books? Yeah, I read the beginning and the end. Wasn't worth staying. Okay. She didn't say that with this book, but I know she's done that with someone. But here I am. See, when I'm reading this page, I'm stuck on this page. I'm not thinking about anything else. But then all of a sudden I turn, I don't have to be stuck on that page. I can turn it over. I had a teacher years ago, hypnosis teacher. He was talking about grieving. And he said, you know, when people are grieving, he said, it's like having a photograph album, but it's open only to the last page. And they don't realize that there's anything else there, or if there is, it's kind of untouchable. And he said, honestly, when I've been working with someone grieving, he said, I've used that as an image. And what I've done is I haven't tried to speed up the process for them. I'm not trying to chase anybody through that. But if they can work on their own healing, as a matter of fact, when you get through the process of grieving, that acceptance or that surrender, right, then the whole album is back open to you. The last page is still there. And it's still sad that there are no more pages. I'm not taking away from the human dimension of sadness. But all of the other memories and all of the other things connected with that, with your relationship with that person, are now available to you again, as they always were, except during that grieving process when you're stuck on that last page. You are systematizing yourself through this work to expand your consciousness to an awareness that there is more. Now we can tell you that there is more, and that will stretch the parameters of your experience. But for example, to teach you something is very different than having you experience it. So part of the work of this book that we give you is allowing you to enter into the possibility of your own demonstration and your own experience. We want to explain something. You have a mother, and suddenly she knows that her child is sick. You are walking home, and you suddenly have a bad feeling that something is wrong in the house. I remember that happened to me when my mother made her transition. I was standing in the kitchen cooking a pot of pasta sauce. My mother was not, she had a slight case of the flu. And all of a sudden, it was kind of like, you know, I had this chill. And I said, Mom just died. So that's not possible. You know, and then the call came a couple of hours later from her sister. All that is happening in these instances is that you are accessing information through other dimensions. That's how these things occur. Why do you think you sometimes know who is on the phone when it's about to ring? You know this because the person who is calling you has taken a little trip in their mind and are imagining you in your home picking up the phone. So they've kind of already called you before they've called you. You are feeling their frequency that is already present in your space. Now again, we can do this in a negative way on ourselves. I ask people sometimes, how many times do you go to the dentist before you go to the dentist? And just stop for a minute and take a look at what we're creating with that. Okay, and doesn't necessarily have to be a dentist, it could be the urologist or whoever is on your list, okay?
Jerry?
Yes?
Can I say something?
Sure.
When I was about 12 years old, I started playing the saxophone. I went to the dentist, we went once a year, and I just happened to mention I played the saxophone. He said, oh, you want to take good care of your teeth because you're going to need them your entire life if you're going to play the saxophone. I've never been concerned with going to the dentist since then. If something happens, I'm at the dentist the next day.
Okay.
I've got to take care of those teeth because this professional told me I should take care of my teeth, and I believed him.
So as far as you're concerned, he was damn right, right?
That's right.
Dead right. Okay. I'll take care of my teeth. Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, thank you. We'll decline the clipboard. Thank you. Okay, where am I? Here I am.
Taking care of your
teeth. Taking care of my teeth. So yes, we are teaching you, but we want to remind you now that these things that we teach you are what you are made of. They are part of your experience as you stand today, and they are changing and they are amplifying as you continue forward on this journey in this work. So now we will tell you something else. How you think about people impacts them in frequency. Didn't mean to jump ahead with that, but just what I mentioned a moment ago, okay? If you change the way you see people, the people you see change. So it's not what you see, it's how you see it. If you are angry with someone, you are sending anger. If you are fantasizing about someone sexually, you are sending that energy to them as well. When you see someone who is a public figure, those people are very, very protected in order to be able to support the kind of projections that are sent to them. They have to have that kind of armor to sustain that level of psychic visibility. Now we've probably seen some instances fairly recently where people don't have that armor. And they, we call them thin-skinned. And how they respond to seeming criticism. And you can also notice with some other people in public office how, I'm not saying that doesn't bother them or doesn't hurt them, right? But how they have the ability to let that stuff pretty much roll off because they have another job to do. If you are imagining someone as your lover, that person, believe it or not, is picking up on this frequency, which is to say an aspect of the person is already reframing their energetic system to counter that or to accept it. We'll give you an example, and then I'm going to open it up for us to kind of give some of our own examples about this. Paul learned many years ago that when someone was angry with him, he would feel it. A male at the right ear, a woman at the left, and this would come as a stinging at the ear, which usually meant that he was being discussed. Once you understand that your own energy system is also vulnerable in this way, it makes you much more responsible to the kind of energy you send out to others. Has anybody ever had any experiences in that realm of either sending or receiving, or knowing that you're sending and receiving? You can just say yes or no. It's partly a rhetorical question, but I wouldn't mind any examples. Kim?
I think for me the biggest example is I've always believed that I have a connection with children and young babies. So anytime I'm out, I'm just drawn to talk to them or to make eye contact with them or something. And you can just kind of feel that mm-hmm. back and forth. And they're so open, you know, especially if they're really young, that
right.
it just is an easy channel. Now, my daughter always teases me because she said, I thought when you had your own grandchildren, you'd stop that. You know, no, I still do it, you know.
That's a great example because kids, little children are very, very open to that. And you probably noticed that when you, well, most of the time when I notice this is really when my own consciousness is expanded, because it has to be. But you notice a child, and you know, sitting in the cart in Kmart or Target or someplace else, you notice their eyes usually get bigger, because they're probably seeing your aura, right? Which at that time is probably expanded, right? Because you're in a happy, loving, open kind of way, right? They're probably seeing that, you know, but not registering it in their mind, but probably seeing that. And you're responding to that as well. So again, all we're doing here is just, let's remind ourselves of some things that already exist in our lives, but that we can become more and more conscious of.
Jerry, if I may ask a question.
Sure.
I came in late and I apologize for that. I thought you were still in Chicago, so I didn't hurry. But
I am. You, that's what we're talking about here. I really am still in Chicago.
That's funny. You look like the guy that's in here every day. How about deceased? I mean, I do try to communicate with deceased, and I can't say that I've gotten any answers back, but... would that be included in this?
That's another dimension, right?
Yeah.
It's beyond the physical. We have an expert, actually, on this subject. I won't put you on the spot. But Doreen has mentioned any number of times, right, talking to Russ, her former husband.
Okay.
Some people would say, well, you need to be careful with that one. Okay. I really don't think so. I mean, we're not raising up spirits, okay?
Right.
I can remember when I first got into songwriting a couple of years ago, and Kathy May, a teacher, I said, you know, you can call on all the people who have crossed over to be to help you write songs, you know, John Denver, John Lennon, George Harrison, right? Now Leonard Cohen, okay, and I've done that, okay. You know, whoever you desire, whoever you want to be part of your inspiration. Now, you might not hear, you know, might not get dictation in your brain, okay? But there have been times, certainly, I know when I was working on a fourth and fifth step in my recovery process a number of years ago, and I realized that even though my father was deceased, that I still had work to do on that relationship. Healing to do. And I can remember communicating with him. I asked his permission. I said, do you mind if we talk about this? And he said, yeah. He said, we both need to. Okay. And I said my piece and he said his. That was one of the most solid pieces of communication that I had that I could almost have written down. Okay. But then there was a release that happened after that, and neither one of us was holding on to a lot of stuff. So I certainly do believe, yes, that's part of the picture here. Paul does that a lot, by the way, in his live workshops. He gets a lot of questions from people who want to find out about someone who has crossed over to the other side. And as a medium, he does a lot of that kind of communication. So that's certainly transcending, let's say, the normal three-dimensional process that we might be in. So very definitely. Now, there is nothing witchy about this. We are not telling you anything that isn't already happening. But what we are telling you is that the thoughts are creative, and when you send out negative energy and consciousness and it is directed, it is impactful. And that is where you need to protect yourself or rise in frequency to the level that you will no longer be impacted by that frequency if it is sent your way or sending it out yourself. Imagine this. You are operating at a low frequency. Of course, never happened for any of us. You're operating, and you are standing in the middle of a field where there are people throwing rocks back and forth. You're going to get hit. As you raise in frequency and as you go higher in vibration, your frequency no longer identifies with the rocks being thrown. You have risen above it, as it were, and it no longer impacts your system at all. When war is engaged in, it's a bunch of rocks being thrown back and forth. And as long as this planet is still in mutual agreement that that's a way to solve a problem, this planet will be existing in a dilemma of frequency. There's a great scene from Little Big Man. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Where Dustin Hoffman is in a tent teepee with Chief Dan George. I forget what his name was in the movie, but his real name was Chief Dan George. And they're being attacked by the cavalry. And Dustin Hoffman is leading him out of the teepee to get to some safety. And there's arrows and bullets and everything flying around. And Chief Dan George says, "Nothing can touch me." And he just had kind of this glow around him. He says, "Nothing can touch me." Because Hoffman was saying, "Well, how are we going to get out of this?" He says, "Don't worry about it. Nothing can touch me."
Can touch you, but not me.
No, I think he meant, you're shielded as well, okay? Nothing can touch me. So as long as we are how can I not see war? I can see people in distress. I can see people who have lost touch with the light. I can see people who need guidance, not necessarily from me. I see people who need love. What am I going to send them? I will send you love. I will send you peace. I will send you light. I will not hold the vision of hatred and scarcity that you are holding, that is generating or continuing to generate more hatred and scarcity. I refuse to do that. I refuse to hold that vision. Will that vision be there for a while sometimes? Yes, it probably will be. Do I hold it in my mind? I choose not to. That is our power here. That is our greatest power. It's not to watch the news. It's to recognize what the news is, or what the news is that we are given, which is really not the news. Okay, it's negative entertainment, or entertainment for the ego. It's another way to play "Ain't It Awful." It's not about avoiding that. It's about knowing that that's a very, very superficial view of what is going on in anybody, or anything, or any country. When I choose to look at that country, when I choose to look at that country differently, or when I change the way I look at that country changes. I choose to hold a vision of peacefulness, despite everything else the world is telling me. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And there's a horribly blasphemous scene from a movie called The Life of Brian by Monty Python, where Jesus is on the cross singing, "Always look at the bright side of life." And I remember I was horribly scandalized the first time I saw that. And the more and more I got into A Course in Miracles and things like that and learned that there really was no suffering, I said, that's really what he was doing. He said, this is nothing. This is a body. It's not even mine. I don't own it. I just rented it for a while, just like you did, okay? This is my spacesuit hanging on a piece of wood. It has nothing to do with the reality of love. It has nothing to do with what you think is the reality of death. Because I'm going to challenge that in a couple of hours. Be ready for this one. I'll end with this paragraph here. I think this is pretty important. Sorry, I was going to end this chapter, but I got rather wordy. I apologize. On a personal level, you can begin to counter this. On an individual level now, practically, we will tell you that it is healthy for you at initial stages of development to honor the energy system that you are when you are working in light and honor yourself with protection. But we are not telling you that as you rise in frequency, the requirement of that changes because you are now aligned to a new level of self-identification where the problems or the disease or the negativity cannot impact you. That is what ascension is about, and that is raising frequency. We expect you each to begin to learn and to begin to discipline the cells in these ways if you wish to continue forward in your study. As we said earlier, this is basic maintenance. So we're not denying the things you need to do to take care of yourself. If you need to eat your dinner, eat your dinner. If you need to go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom. If you need to put a sweater on, put a sweater on. Right? If you can't necessarily turn the heat up on your ethereal body and your body feels cold, put a sweater on. Okay? Don't beat yourself up because that might not be working the way you think it should. Right. It's not about recognizing weakness so much. It's about identifying with the truth. Right. And knowing that all of us, certainly myself included, are identified as much as we can be at this particular moment, but there's a lot further we can go. We'll finish this up next week, and we will move on to the next chapter of help. Which means both asking for help and giving help. Maybe we can say this together. Unity's prayer. I like to call it Unity's prayer of oneness and unity. Sometimes it's called Unity's prayer of protection. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. We are whole, we are filled with light. We are perfect, we are filled with light. We are surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come from us, and nothing but good shall go to us. We give thanks, we give thanks, we give thanks. Have a wonderful week, y'all. See you soon, okay? Thank you. No.